Balls are back.
Yeah, they had us the first half, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, could be Wayne!
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh!
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby!
Them orange britches! Something about them orange britches!
Ball hit high in the air into right field. Going back to Sayre. And Tennessee can say hello, win column. A grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. You can't draw it up any better.
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
I made up my mind. I don't expect to ever look back. I'm going to stay at the University of Tennessee. Yeah!
Read it, did to. We're not gonna be able to do this. That is delayed. I'm just gonna remove that. Read it, did to do, and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Thursday, May 19th. This looks like the More Important Issues of old. What is up, everybody? We are live inside of the Raby household. I'm fired up to do. We haven't done it.
How did you get in my house?
Dude, the dogs let me in. They love me. They love their uncle coach. So yeah, I'm fired up. This is our first live episode. If you take away football season, this is our first one, and I can't remember how long.
Is that a shot at the Florida announcer? If you take away all of Tennessee,
sure. That's fine with me. I'm excited. I texted Landon. I said, "Hey, I'm in Knoxville, and I can be there." I was shocked. You said yes. I stink. I look bad. I didn't think you'd want neighbors seeing me come in here. So I'm fired up. We've got a great series. And
so what you're saying is
oh, well, I'm helping your property. I'm helping you out in terms of, I mean, you don't want to pay taxes like that. You don't want the assessor to come out. Well, so I'm helping you out. So if the assessor sees me walk in, you're good. Absolutely. Anytime. It's a great day. We've got a series in Starkville. It's football season. I think it's football season. Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher have me just all sorts of riled up. I told Landon, I think that's going to be tangent material. So I'm just going to, like, I think each of us should just say one statement about it. Not a Jimbo Fisher statement where he interrupts questions while he's doing it.
He continues to just ramble on.
Right. Right. Just a Buzz Peterson type statement. Yeah. I mean, maybe not as long as Buzz's where we cry and read off the paper, but a statement about it. So we'll address that for sure. But we will come back Sunday because I think it's tangent material.
Yeah, it's no longer like a no text back. It's just like Jimbo Fisher just not answering the call.
I think that's a power move.
I would also like, I would kind of want to hear what Nick Saban would have to say. Like, is he apologetic?
Do you think he left a voicemail? Like,
he does seem like the age I would do it, but probably
not. That's true. Does Jimbo?
He probably didn't even call it.
Jimbo probably didn't even have a voicemail set up because he doesn't know how to. That's right. but of course, we're previewing Mississippi State. I can't wait to do that. I'm feeling. Do we have the broom in here? No broom in here. I'm feeling maybe sweet material. No matter what the haters say, that's fair. Yeah. You can't rely on it. Right. It can't be a fallback plan. So I understand that. And then some exciting recruiting news. Of course, we'll talk. This might be tangent material too, so we may have to be careful. We may have to talk more about it on Sunday as far as the change in 2023 schedule. But we'll talk about that. And then some more NCAA rule changes that I think benefit – like, I mean, I think it benefits all college football teams, but I think it benefits Tennessee right now.
Yeah, it could have really benefited
100%. 100%. For sure. If you got questions, drop them in the chat. We've got it pulled up here. Or statements or – comments or what it concerns, just let us know. We accept them all. Let's start Mississippi State. It's apparently had to bust down to Starkville. Their airport, I guess, isn't big enough to land a plane is what everyone replied to Houston Cress about. So, which I don't know if I'm a Mississippi State fan, I don't know if I'm proud of that. Like some of them were like, oh, where are you going to land a plane in Starkville? I don't think I would make that statement.
Well, and like, how do you get recruits there?
That's
just have them bus.
Yeah. Hey, we're gonna have to fly you to Ole Miss first, yeah. And then we'll get you down.
Rental car, but you gotta drive here.
I guess that's a good point. I didn't even think about. It's embarrassing, but hey, more time for the Tony and the boys to bond. Maybe, you know, they think they're gonna get them on you know, sore legs. Little not. Maybe, maybe they definitely did while driving through Alabama, right? To remind them, like, hey, this song is not even close to about you.
I was thinking in my mind, I'm like, that's been a while ago, but we forget Luke Lipsey is sad. Brendan Walsh has been here for 10 years.
I mean, they were on the team when the song was released.
Exactly. Yeah.
when Alabama, they were in the room when Alabama wrote it.
They were. Yeah.
People forget they were there. Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a good weekend. And Mississippi State's a great place to, you talk about some of like the best venues in college baseball and college sports. Playing in Dudley? Okay, I think it's Dudley Noble Field. It's a great college venue, a great baseball venue in general. So it's going to be a good weekend as far as just baseball goes. I think it, too, is just it's a great matchup for a lot of reasons. You have Mississippi State trying to get to Hoover. You have Tennessee trying to finish a year strong, securing your number one overall seed. Like, that's if Tennessee can get a series win here, it's going to take a lot in Hoover and then a lot from, like, an Oregon State for the team that's just being thrown out there as the number one. They'd have to go and win the Pac-12 tournament at that point to take over. It would take that. So this series does have a lot on the line for both teams in that regard. Obviously not as big as Tennessee. If they don't get the number one seed, that would suck, but it just is what it is. And a lot of fans would say, well, a number one seed hadn't won since 1999. So, you know, whatever. But I want a number one seed. I don't know about you.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But you want to host a super regional, so you want to be a national seed.
And if you're not in the top eight,
yeah, you want to be.
That's committee shaft. Like, that's a worse shafting than what A&M got in the NCAA tournament. So yeah, no, but it does put a lot. It makes the series interesting that you have both those storylines happening. So I'm excited for that one. You get Dolander on Thursday night, which I would like to pick Tony's brain about the comment he made when they said, who are your starters this weekend? He said, we know it's Dolander for sure. I don't know if I would have – Dolander's been great. That just seems like an interesting one to be like, that is the guy we're 100% starting. And maybe it had to do with, like, him coming back from injury and they want to get him ready, stuff like that. It's just interesting to me. I'd be curious the reasons why, but you do get him on Thursday night.
Yeah, switch it up a little bit, see what happens. You switch it up this past weekend. You
won the series. Yeah, whatever. You switched it up big time this weekend.
Right, yeah. And getting Drew Beam back, I think, maybe it just seemed like – I know they didn't have a fantastic outing against – it's been so long. Who did we play last week?
That was Georgia last week. Georgia. I didn't know where you're going with that. I apologize.
Yeah. not a fantastic outing in out of the bullpen, but I think it pretty much solidified, hey, he needs to be a starter.
Yeah, and – he's statistically the best one on your roster. So it's hard to deny him a spot ever. And then it gets even crazier that Ben Joyce comes in and starts really well.
Right.
It gets wilder. So that kind of goes into why it's interesting that it's Dolan. Well, I felt awkward sitting up in this. You put me in the casting couch. So I had to get comfortable. So actually I put myself in the casting couch. I wanted to sit back, but yeah, it's that's why I find it interesting. Because you have Drew Beam, who's been statistically your best. You have Chase Burns, a number one, first round draft pick. You have Blade Tidwell, All American, probably first round draft pick. You have Ben Joyce, who just had a phenomenal outing, throws gas. I mean, nothing against Chase Dolander. He's been phenomenal. It was just, I would be interested to find out those comments, like why that was the comment. That's all. Yep. Also, I'm going to apologize. You might hear some feedback here. I'm going to put this down. I've got a peach tea I need to open. So I'm going to go ahead and apologize to everybody listening.
Open that thing up.
Also, Weigels. I'm sorry, I'm not drinking a Weigel's peach tea. Yours is way better than Lipton's, but y'all don't sell them by the case. So, Evan Russell, give me a case and I'm in.
Man, I'm excited. I'm excited for them to go back on the road. I feel like, this is like you get a homecoming, like you get this week, you get Hoover, and then you come back home, and I just feel like it's just gonna be a different atmosphere. You get 2 weeks off from being in Lindsey Nelson, then you're just fired up to be back in it for regional, and I think that's golden.
Oh, for sure. And I know this team's probably ready to get back, especially after the scene you had last week.
Especially
or like last year.
And then being in Alabama.
Whoa. Stark Vegas.
Yeah.
Stark, like, why? I get that it's like, it's usually like, you know, you have some people who call it Knox Vegas and Nash Vegas and all that. They lean in hard to the Stark Vegas. Do you think they see the irony that it is probably the polar opposite of Las Vegas?
You can't even fly into it.
That's true. And you can fly into Las Vegas from anywhere in the world now. Allegiant's like, we're going to put people from freaking Juneau, Alaska in Las Vegas. Allegiant has bought into the idea.
There's
so,
no way they got a decent
hotel. Well, I watched a video. I don't remember the exact name. It's that George Kiel guy who does tours. And I watched, because they have a great stadium. I mean, it's phenomenal. And one of the suggested was a recruiting visit. Their recruit that they brought in, their recruits stayed at the La Quinta. Yeah, so that's I've stayed in the La Quinta. If you send me there on a recruiting visit, I ain't coming to your school. I don't care if you're my only offer. I'm out.
The fact that they have landed some recruits is,
It helps they win. I'll give them that. It helps they win. Which, I mean, you know, going back into the whole Nick Saban.
Well, I'm talking about football too.
That's true. Who have they landed though? I mean, their best player was like a 2-star coming out of high school in Dak Prescott. So, I mean, yeah. What are they getting? Their best recruit's probably Mike Leach. I think people should be shocked he came to Mississippi State for a lot of reasons, not just that it's Mississippi State.
Not a great state.
No. No. Remind me of the – so it's Dolander. Is it Burns, then Beam?
Yep.
I love that. I love having Beam on Sunday. Because I want to – or Saturday now, excuse me. I love – Beam just feels like the sweep machine, right? He's the broom.
Like, the third day, you're expecting another Chase.
That's true. That's I call him Chase all the time. That's true. He's the street sweeper, man. He's the guy that comes in late at night and your car better not be parallel parked. He's going to clean it up. So I hope that, I hope the Vols get it done Thursday and Friday because I'm pretty tonight. This is a pregame show. I hope everybody's in here. College game day coming to Landon's house. I hope they get it done because, Drew Beam's going to get it done. I'll say that right now. I like what Dylan always says on the bat flip. It's like, and he's the best pitcher on this staff until you prove me wrong. Okay. So he's going to win until you prove me wrong.
Yep. And Dolander's undefeated on the year.
God, I love that.
The only loss is when he came out of the bullpen.
What I love about Dolander is you can't, it just cracks me because he doesn't have, and I mean, I guess Drew's kind of the same way, but like he doesn't have the Ben Joyce. He doesn't have quite the V. Right. Well, I'm just saying, and I mean, even quite the velo is Chase Burns. Like, he's not like a just turn your head kind of guy. Like, the scouts aren't just probably scribbling at their clipboard because they use clipboards for some reason still. But you can't touch his pitches. Like, I mean, he strikes guys out. He's just filthy. And when you do touch his pitches, you get a lucky freaking ball back to the mound that takes him out for the game.
Yeah, then you get this kind of beat up Mississippi State team who. When they lost Landon Sims, great name by the way. I mean, they just
Landon or Sims.
Landon.
Okay, all right.
They just kind of folded. Their pitching staff's terrible. I mean, not to look past an opponent, but they're terrible. I think what is their ERA? 6.88 ERA.
Yikes! I like the idea of that though. I mean, Tennessee Jordan Beck.
I don't know, like who scores 6 runs on Tennessee.
I mean,
maybe Auburn,
Alabama hit well. So I'll put Alabama in that. I know they didn't and they had 3 opportunities, but like I'd put them in that category that they could, I think.
Right. So
seven runs,
I feel confident.
Right. And I'd I agree with that. Mississippi State, I will say this, Mississippi State was down, I think 4-1 at one point to Northern Alabama. Is that their Tuesday opponent? Yeah. I think they're down 4-1. So to go out and I know it's Northern Alabama. Go out and get 13 unscored. Like, that's unanswered. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, and they're on a 9-game losing streak until then.
Yeah.
They got that win. They are winless in the SEC in their last 8 games.
Swept by A&M.
They lost in Missouri.
Missouri's bad. Missouri's not a team that could score six runs on Tennessee. I'll put one more team in that category that I think, because like you said, it's not going to happen often. In the SEC, I think Vanderbilt on the right night probably could. They typically run the base as well. So, like, get guys on, get them in the right situation, like you may. So, I think I put Vanderbilt in that category.
Mississippi State can hit.
They can hit.
R.J. Yeager, Hunter Hines.
They can't do much defensively, but they can hit.
No. Cameron James, I think, is the other guy that's pretty good. I think they're around second in home runs.
But isn't that the matchup you want if you're Tennessee? Because, like, that's not going to beat you.
Right.
Especially
with how huge their ball
field. Yeah. It's the guys with the pitching staff with the bullpen that you fear.
Yeah, R.J. Yeager, he's batting .354. I think he leads him in home runs at like 17, I think. Hunter Hines is a true freshman. He's really good. But I mentioned their pitching. It's abysmal. I mean, you look at their matchups, I don't think anybody's below four.
Yeah, no, it's not. ERA. They're not good. I know you meant – so how many pitchers did they lose? I know you mentioned
– Yeah, they lost a couple out of the bullpen. Landon Sims was the headliner.
I mean, they lost like three or four early in the year.
It's a pretty hefty list. And I think it's, you know, you look back and Tennessee kind of had those same issues where it didn't really affect us any because of the depth.
Right. Had. Right.
You lost Blake Tidwell. You lost Olander for a little bit.
It didn't matter. It doesn't matter. And the best part about it is we talked about four legitimate starters that you have on this roster. You had a fifth in Ben Joyce. And then in the postseason, you get Xander Seacrest. Just an embarrassment of riches that we have here in Knoxville. It's.
You look at Belmont, really. I mean, we pitched everybody.
Yeah.
After Xander pitched his three innings, just down the.
I like what Callum said. We're gonna give Ethan Smith the save. I know it's not a save. We're gonna give it to him. Right. He deserves it. I like that. Yeah. That's another guy that you know. Everyone expects him to be in the mix. Like, he's a really good pitcher coming from Vanderbilt. Like you expect him to be there. And he just gets buried in this just plethora of depth.
Yeah, I mean, you're pitching guys that, like, the casual fan had no clue who else was pitching after Xander Seacrest.
Yeah. Yeah.
After that, they're like, who
then? Well, there was – there was some guy – I think they were pulling people out of the stands at one point. I think they were. I was convinced. I liked – somebody tweeted it. They should start – getting some pinch hitters from behind home plate MVP section. I like that idea. I think they should have done that on Tuesday night, round out senior day. I think you would have gotten a hit on that staff. They struggled. Belmont struggled.
They did. And Belmont's a really good team.
We talked about it. I think me and you talked about it. We said, I mean, Belmont could they could win the OVC. The only team besides an SEC or besides the number one team in the country and an SEC team to beat you was another OVC team. And they may not even win the conference. They're not going to win the conference. It's going to be Belmont or, Southeast Missouri. Yeah. Which sounds like a team that Alabama schedules first game of the year.
And so Belmont's probably going to be an NCAA tournament team. And you beat them 18-0 and hit six home runs.
Yeah, we're peaking
too. We got hit two.
We're peaking way too early. This is just absurd. Seth Stevenson getting it done. I loved what Vitello said about him. It's like he's shortened his swing tonight. And he's hitting the ball way farther than he ever has.
Seems more comfortable. I think he talked about it after the game, and it was just like him being that constant leadoff guy has gotten him comfortable in the swing and his approach.
Well, and to have that thought, shorten the swing, make contact, your job's to get on base. Yeah. And not only that, as a leadoff runner, Seth Stevenson's probably got the fastest 90 feet time on the team, more than likely.
Oh,
so not only is it your job as a leadoff runner, we need you on base. So yeah, make contact, get comfortable. And the ball will fly if you get the right pitch. Like, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, last week we were talking – Tony Vitello was talking about him, you know, hitting more ground balls, more line drives, and giving himself a chance to get on base.
Yeah.
Other than just a bunch of pop flies. But, you know, this week we're talking about –
We can't hear you, Landon. So, talking to the mic, Billy. You took it out too. You had the okay.
Can you hear me now? I think my
mic. Oh, did it go out completely? Let me this is gonna be bad. I'm gonna have to
check.
You're out completely? All right, I'm sorry guys, I'm gonna have to come up here to the soundboard. Probably should have put it closer, but that's where we're at. Getting anything?
Check.
We're not. So we'll unplug. Try it again.
Check.
What is going on? Are we going to switch that mic up too? See in the back.
Check.
Nothing.
Try to unplug and plug it back in. Check.
This is what happens when you have a producer.
Dang it.
We got another mic here, guys, and it's orange. That's the best part. Yeah, just throw that son of a out the window. You want me to toss it? I don't know what's happened here. Was it working good before?
Check.
Do it again.
Check.
I mean, I lost you completely there. Here, you're the baseball guy. Let me switch mics. Let me switch mics for you and all.
We'll try it out. You're the
baseball guy. Check.
Okay. You're in. I'm in now.
But yeah, Tennessee's just got to take full advantage of Mississippi State's bullpen. They're terrible. I think they gave up two big leads to Texas A&M last weekend and ended up getting swept. So not only is their starting pitching not great, their bullpen is even worse somehow, some way. Yeah, just not the same defending national champion. And
dude, I think you're bad luck. That might.
This mic went out too.
It's better. It's fine. You're good.
Check.
I got you.
Okay. We're good.
Keep going. Okay. You got it.
Check. Hey, what about Ortega's home run for more important issues? I hate that you're not.
Bomb.
Absolutely.
It is. I don't know what's going on. My mic's working now. And we switched. I don't know what to do at this point. I'm sorry, guys.
So both of them are working now?
You're coming through my mic. Oh. Should we switch again? Maybe. Even when you're close, I don't know what's going on.
Check.
You might have to hold the mic. We might be in mad. It might be something. Does it have an off on? I don't think it does.
Check. All right, I'll just hold it down. Can you hear it?
No. And I think we've completely switched everything now. This is good podcasting.
All right. Let's see if you're really that lucky. Maybe you have some.
Check.
Okay.
All right. We're good. Let's keep going.
So it's working.
Great.
Yeah. Huge. That was for us. And that was his furthest one of the season. So. No coincidence.
That had to be the farthest ball anyone's hit, right?
I think Blake Berg hit one, or maybe Jordan Beck hit one 450 feet.
Gotcha.
But it was close. I think it's second or third so far this season.
Okay.
And then Luke hit one over the damn scoreboard.
Luke's was a – I feel like he only hits line drives. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I am just a bad luck, apparently. Right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what I did.
This it's is working. Better. That's all that matters, right?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Cool. That's kind of all I got for Mississippi State. I'm excited for this weekend. We got about 34 minutes until first pitch. Blake Burke is still in the lineup at DH. I think that's huge. They are pitching a righty, so Luke will be batting second, and Ortega will be batting sixth. So usually if there's a lefty, they kind of flip-flop. But.
Yeah, and I don't hate it. I really like Ortega in the two-hole.
I do too.
I understand. I understand why they're doing it. I do like Ortega in the two-hole.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, Jonathan, I forgot the Clifford hat. I'm sorry. My nephew gave me a Clifford hat to wear tonight, and I forgot it. So, no Clifford hat. Big red dog guy. What about you?
Yeah, I don't hate it.
That sounded like you don't love Clifford.
I don't remember the last time I actually watched Clifford or
do you have
even
something,
seen Clifford.
Do you have a Nick Saban type deal against Clifford?
Oh,
like you just need to wear it out right now?
You want to get into that?
Should we talk about the schedule change or that?
Yeah, let's do the schedule change.
This is a Tennessee podcast. I'm not talking about Nick Saban if I don't have to.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about it. It could be a longer show.
I get what you're saying.
I do want to talk about it.
Yeah, neutral side. So thoughts on neutral side, just real quick.
Okay, so neutral side games, I hate them. I hate not besides bowl games or conference championship games. I think regular season games should be played on campus. I think campus is a big part of what makes college football great. Like it separates it from the NFL. Yeah, it's a different game type environment. The NFL is more like an entertainment type deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I know college football is getting into that, but it still has the campus atmosphere.
Yeah.
So now it's technically a UT home game, but it's being played in Nashville. What I hate about it is I think I wouldn't have gone to Provo. I mean, I would have loved to gone to Provo. I didn't have plans to. I probably wouldn't have gone. I think a lot of fans were excited, and I think it's two classic college football programs matching up. So I think it's great, but it doesn't sound like Tennessee's all to blame, so I'm not ready to do that. I would have just rather played Virginia at home and home.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't cause you to lose a home game, which I'm cool with. I would have been really mad if they took away a home game and put it in Nashville.
Well, if it's a Tennessee home game, I feel like we should get season ticket holders should get.
So. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
So. And I do think it'll be better. If, like you said, you didn't have plans to go to Provo. I didn't either, so I probably will go to Nashville.
Oh, I'll be in Nashville.
Yeah.
It's traveling to Provo. Like, I could wake up tomorrow and decide I'm going to Nashville.
Right.
It's way different. Mm-hmm. You got to really make plans to get out to Provo. I just think it would have been a great environment, great time. It is what it is. I'm not upset about it.
I'm just sick of playing in Nissan Stadium.
That's 100% true. And I think there is an aspect to it that helps Tennessee. So I think there is a benefit to going to Nashville, getting to play in front of some guys. I mean, Nashville's becoming a recruiting hotbed. It is. Mm-hmm. And so you do get to play close to some of those guys' homes. You get to play a true like home game for some of the guys on your roster. So I think there are some benefits for it to be in Tennessee. But those recruits aren't going to have the same experience they'd have in Neyland. Like, no recruit's gone to a neutral, like, except maybe the world's largest cocktail party or maybe Bedlam. No one's gone to Bedlam? Is that the Red River Rivalry? The Red River Rivalry. No recruit's gone to, like, a neutral site game at the Chick-fil-A Kickoff Bowl and been like, this is awesome. Like, I want to go to the school now. So, I don't think you get that in Nissan. I don't think, it's not a rivalry. Maybe if you establish one with Memphis or something. Like, maybe you get a little bit of that, but Virginia, who cares?
I don't get the whole argument that it helps recruiting. No, it doesn't.
I don't think it.
Because recruits can't even have contact with the coaches while they're, like, at a neutral site.
Well, I don't know how it works with that. I know, like,
because it is a home game, so can't.
So, I think you do. So, in the world's largest cocktail party, the home team gets, like, recruiting rights, I guess.
Okay, maybe that's how it works, but
that's probably why.
But what you said is,
it's not
a recruit in Nashville would rather go see Tennessee play in Neyland than go see him play in Nissan Stadium.
Right, 100%.
The pageantry, the tradition,
100%.
All the tailgating. I mean, it's just different.
If they get to run out of the tee, I'll feel better.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'll feel better.
They better checkerboard the end zones.
Oh God, dude, I'm gonna.
That's the thing that pisses me off.
The Music City Bowl is the tackiest end zones of all time. I could paint. Listen, pay me $5 an hour. I'll come and paint your freaking end zone green before you paint, so I don't have to see the Titans bleeding through it and the center field logo.
Yeah,
like your grounds crew is atrocious.
I don't see how. So the Music City Bowl, was it the next? Did they have a home game the next day? Or was it from the week before?
So I think the Music City Bowl was either on a Thursday or a Friday. It wasn't on Saturday. So they had time.
Yeah.
But I think it was that week.
If you're going to do it, make it look nice.
Oh, 100%. You're the, like, why would people want to go to your bowl if it says Music City in orange or whatever home team or whatever team's colors? Like, make bowl games special. They talk about how they want to give gifts and stuff and give the players experiences. Well, give the fans experiences too, because if fans stop buying tickets to your bowl games, and Tennessee fans are never going to do that, so you do get the benefit of the doubt with Tennessee fans.
Mm-hmm.
But Purdue fans or Nebraska fans, whoever comes there, making it experience for them. Nebraska is probably the same as Tennessee. You probably get good fans anyways. But make it an experience for them. I don't – there's not a – you could pull every single Tennessee fan. And if you ask if they – I'm just going kickoff belt bowl. If you just tell them Tennessee painted in the end zone or Music City Bowl in orange, 100 out of 100 are going to say Tennessee.
Yeah.
100 out of 100. It's not hard, guys.
Right. And I heard this the other day. Is this a kind of a sorry game because you are – for the Mid-State fans, because you are playing that first game this year on a Thursday?
I bet. Just don't play it on a Thursday.
Yeah.
If that that's real, I don't know. It's said not, that.
Maybe you can –
you can spin it that way, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Good, solid spin zone. Whoever floated that idea out there. I mean, I think it does.
Is this an Arch versus Nico matchup? Two true freshmen.
You think Arch is Virginia?
Nah.
His only connection to Virginia is his mom, right? Mom went there, or aunt went there, right?
Well, and Tony Elliott is there. Oh, okay. Now, so he's at Clemson. Fair. So I think there is
fair.
I don't know. Relationship. I got to see it to believe it that he's going to Virginia. Yeah,
for sure. That is one of those things I will never believe until it happens. Right. He could sign an NLI, and I'm not believing it.
Which is probably what people said about Tennessee and Nico a couple months ago. And I was probably one of them.
And some people are probably still thinking until he's on campus. Like, yeah. I'm holding my breath.
Nico's first game in Nashville.
See, that would piss me off about Nico.
Yeah, he's already played at Lipscomb Academy. Let's go play there.
Lipscomb might have better facilities, better locker rooms for sure.
Definitely better field.
Yeah, that field is not great. I'm shocked they could play soccer adequately on there. It's whatever. I mean, I'm with you. Like, I'm gonna be there. It's just like I'd rather be in Neyland.
Yeah,
whatever. It is what it is.
If it is a home game,
I'm glad it's in Nashville and not in like Charlotte or in Atlanta.
Oh yeah,
so sure. I'll say that.
It's better that it's in your state
because it does.
I would kind of rather it would be a home, but I would kind of rather just go to Virginia.
Yeah, I'd rather go to Virginia in 2023 and then turn around like 2027 and play in Neyland. Yeah, play in Nashville. I do think there is a level. Like, I'll speak for the fans in Memphis, Jackson, in Nashville. There are going to be fans that have never been in Neyland that'll be there. So like, that's cool, I guess.
Yeah. You need to go to Neyland.
I agree. It's just, I mean, dude, driving from, like, you've got to make talking about going to Provo, you've got to plan your trip if you're driving from Memphis. That's 7 hours. Like, it's not just, like, even me in Johnson City, like, that's not, I can wait. I've done it. I did it a few times this year. I drove in on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
It's not the same. So it's, you know, we are blessed to grow up here in the God's country and be this close to Neyland. So, I'll say that for the Mid-State.
Hop and a skip.
Yeah. I'll say that for the Mid-State. We went blank here. I don't even know if people can still video died on us. Is it going now?
Yeah,
we good? Going. All right, cool.
Maybe not. Maybe it's not.
No, it is now. It is now. It was frozen. It was frozen. I think it's I'm not as upset as some people, but I'm more upset that college football is so
neutral site happy.
Like, so diehard when it comes to neutral sites. I'm looking at the picture right now of Neyland that can't remember his name that sent to us, and it's fantastic. I mean, that's just, you're never gonna get anything like that from Nissan. What are you gonna put, Broadway in the background?
Oh yeah, the NFL draft.
If they put Santa's Pub, I'm in. I'm whatever. I mean, we'll make a weekend of it. We've got Dylan in Nashville by that point, so yeah. He'll have to let us. Well, I'm going to sleep in his bed. If he doesn't want me to sleep with me, I'll just sleep on the couch. But
I already told him that we're coming.
I didn't even tell him. I just assumed he knew. Yeah. I was like, yeah, you know this is happening. Right?
As soon as they announced it, I was like, hey, man, I'll see you in 2023 in Nashville. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, first game's in Nashville, so I'll see
you. See you then. No worries.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's cool. Like, whatever. I'm not going to pay a lot of money for the hotel room. And yeah, cool.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you, though, home and home. You know how I feel about it. I just tangented again. We tried not to go on a Nick Saban tangent, but instead it was a neutral site tangent.
Yeah.
Please, well, please never play in a kickoff game ever again.
But let's get some, maybe kind of spin it this way, too. Tony Elliott turned Tennessee down, apparently. So there's that. Maybe Heupel gets a little –
did we
– well, suck on that.
Obviously, we haven't seen Tony Elliott at Virginia. Did we benefit from that?
I would say, as of now, I'd say yes.
Okay. I'm excited for Heupel, but I'm still neutral. Like I'm or not neutral. Neutral is not the right word. I'm in his corner, but I'm patiently waiting. I'm keeping him humble. I'm the guy in the there's hype men in the corner, and then there's guys that make sure you know they're working all the time and keep him. I'm the humble guy.
Yeah. I think this is a big year for him. Not to say like it's a make or break year for him, but I definitely think you can maybe turn some heads that you haven't already turned.
I think this is a make or break year in the sense of if you don't have a solid year, and I think there's room in between like great and good for solid. I don't think you have to be great, but I think you have to be solid to keep this recruiting class together.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you have to have a solid year, which it would in turn could make this a break, make or break year.
Okay.
But I don't think this is like win 10 games or go home.
Right. No. I still think this team's probably a
win 10 regular seasons. I think you need to try to get to 10 with your bowl game.
Yeah.
I think that's probably where your line is. I need to really look at the schedule and iron it out. I know LSU being your,
I think those first, your West those team first couple games, when you look at Pitt and Florida, if you win those games, I think it sets up nicely. If you lose some of those games, then it could.
When we sit down and talk, when we preview the schedule really in the summer, Pitt's going to be a win, and you've got to make sure that it is. That's going to be is linchpin the right word? It might be Florida might be the linchpin game for you, assuming you win Pitt. But Pitt's going to really determine how good of a year you have because it's going to be a big win on your schedule. It's a Power 5 out of con. Like, it's a lot of reasons that it's going to be, I think, probably your linchpin game.
And it's a home and home.
And it's a home and home. I love it. I would have loved to go to that game. If LSU wasn't this year, I think traveling up Pittsburgh, Huntsfield. I think it would be fun. Well, at least it's their home field.
If you could call it that,
I mean, it is their home stadium.
Yeah, it's not their home; it's right. their stadium that they rent play it. In. Yeah.
They don't have equity. Yeah, no. That Navy play at where do the Ravens play? Don't they play there? If the Naval Academy can play in an NFL stadium, Pitt can.
I guess. I mean, it's just like us. Like, is Nissan our?
Nissan's our home away from home, man. Yeah, I guess. You say, yeah, you know, I would love.
Just don't screw us. If we get screwed again, I'm never going back to Nashville for anything. They will never get another dime out of me. The whole city.
I'm kind of rooting for a loss then now. I'm not a fan of Nashville. I you know, you always have fun there, but it's like, I'd rather, there's 10 other cities I'd rather go to.
Yeah, true.
It is what it is. I'd love to see a home and home with Memphis. My last thing on this.
Huh.
I'd love to see that. Home and home beat.
Maybe a 2-1.
I'm sure. I always said when UCF got mad because I think it was Florida wanted to schedule, they only wanted to do a 2-1. I was all for it. You got to accept where you're at. The fact that they're offering to come to you, meet them in the middle.
Well, the reason why BYU was kind of, and I think Josh Heupel didn't want to play this game. It meant nothing to him.
I get that, but it does look – I think Tennessee maybe took the out.
Yeah, for sure.
But the way I read, I
BYU is going to have Arkansas and Tennessee, and then they're going to play in the Big 12. So,
yeah.
It was going to be a tough schedule for them in their first year in the Big 12.
Yeah, I think Tennessee took the out, but I think it could have been a big game for Tennessee.
I agree.
I don't know. Whatever.
It's weird talking about 2 years in
it is. Advance. I kind of like it. Kind of like how I'm already in football season mode, thanks to Nick and Jimbo. Is Jimbo his real name? Jimothy?
I don't know.
Jim Bob? He just dropped the B? That'd be awesome. That would be the greatest thing ever. It's got to be something else. It's just got to be like James. Family called it. His dad, dude, his dad, he talked about his dad smacked him for cheating. You know, he's a Jimbo top guy. It could be on the birth certificate. You don't know. You have no idea. While Landon's looking up Jimbo's real name, which I don't even tell me. I love that I'm reading the note and I just noticed this. That it says,
yeah, it's John James.
John James, of course it is. there is one point that like just says Jimbo beef. Because it says Nick and Jimbo beef. Mm. Just Jimbo beef.
Jimbo Beef, yeah.
If there's not a restaurant in College Station called Jimbo Beef and it's a steakhouse, I'm going to be really disappointed.
When one was about to open in Tallahassee, and then he left, so they had to change the name.
I think I would have called it Jimbo Beef still. That's a just legendary name. I think Ye Olde Steakhouse should rebrand.
Or Jameis Crab Legs.
Oh, yeah. It's Jimbo Beef and every like a special every Thursday night. Jameis's Crab Legs.
Yeah. I love the beef. I think it's hilarious.
I love it too. I can't wait to really dive into it Sunday. I'm just sick of Nick Saban being such a crybaby about everything.
Why is he?
Like it's because
dude, are him and Dabo just like the same person?
I think okay, we're just gonna again my statement on it. This is the only thing I'll say about it tonight. I think Nick Saban's a scumbag. I don't think he's an idiot. Everything's calculated, but he's a scumbag.
Yeah. Part of me thinks he didn't think that would maybe get out. I don't know what it was.
I don't know either. I love that.
Because Nate Oates is sitting there. He's just like, I can't believe you said that.
Well, he's probably like, dude, I saw 3-year players play with facilities and freaking, what are they driving? Hellcats now? Like,
yeah.
Like, come on, brother.
Scat packs everywhere.
Good Lord. It's all time funny. It's good. I think part of it is, I guess that wasn't my only statement. I think part of it is, I kind of believe this, that Nick Saban wants the rest of the coaching profession to believe what he says. So when he's like, the up-tempo offense is bad for the game, we're not doing it. Well, what was he doing while he said that? He was scheming in the up-tempo offense and the spread offense to his system.
Yeah.
So I think part of it is he wants people to do what he says. So if he says that, there's some young coach that does it the right way, whatever Nick Saban's right way is.
Is this what we were waiting on, the first assistant to beat him, to break him?
Dude, that would be awesome. So, yeah, he's gotten two. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
But Jimbo was first.
Yeah, then he said, so since then, is it?
Are we seeing the downfall of Nick Saban?
Should we have kept Jimmy Pruitt for another year?
Oh, God, no. Jesus, no. We'd have lost by 45 last year.
See, like he's got people below him dumb enough to believe that the up-tempo offense is death, like Jeremy Pruitt.
Well, I just don't see how you like complain about a team like that, and you lost to him before that with like a third-string quarterback.
It's true.
Well, without any of those players on campus.
Well, and I just hate his big thing with collectives is he's like they're not allowed to entice you to come to the school with money.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's saying that's the bad thing about him. Like, well, they're not supposed to.
Right.
So again, it goes into the whole thing. I've always said this, like about people who accuse others of cheating. If you know they're doing it, report them. It's that simple. Maybe Saban was trying to report him yesterday without calling the NCAA up and telling him, hey, this is going on. But that's not the way to do it. You look like a scumbag.
Because he got super personal. He could have said,
I'm going to have to hit this again before it goes dark on us. Sorry, guys.
He could have said, like, you know, there's people in our league paying for players.
Yeah. Which they would have been like, yeah, Alabama is.
Exactly. So, like, he could have kept it, but he called out Texas A&M. And when you do that, there's repercussions.
Yeah. And that's my favorite part is Jimbo was like, I don't know if he's ever been smacked. Well, it's clear because he came out today. He's like, I apologize. I should have never named names.
Oh, he did say that. I didn't see this.
So he went on Sirius XM, someone's show on Sirius. I can't remember whose. And he had a whole thing. That was where he was talking about the collectives or they're not supposed to. Like he was saying their work, you know, the coach gets X amount of money. I'm like, they shouldn't though. That's the thing. Like Jimbo did the right thing by going, I have no idea what the collectives do. That's the way it's supposed to be. And that's why I don't understand the NCAA telling boosters they can't be involved. The boosters don't have a set of rules. Like when you donate money to the university, you aren't handed a compliance book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not if you allow NIL, you allow collectives, which I don't know how you disallow collectives. You allow it. You cannot police every booster. The school has a job to do. The athletic department has a job to do, and they have to stay out of compliance or stay in compliance. Excuse me. So I just don't understand what I don't even understand what they're trying to say. I don't get it.
If I'm a head coach and a collective is trying to tell me what I'm like. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to know.
If they walk into the restaurant I'm eating at, I'm walking out.
Don't want to know.
Are you kidding me? Do whatever you want.
We got it. Hey, get in touch with them. They'll handle it. I'm out. Right.
And I said it today to a couple friends in a group text. I agree because kids make dumb decisions. I mean, they're 17 years old. Mm-hmm. So it shouldn't be, here's $1 million or here's $100,000. You go to Alabama. Like that shouldn't be allowed. I don't know how you police it. I don't, but I do think there should be, you should be, I mean, first off, if we get into paying high school players, the same thing that happened in the NCAA is going to happen. You can't say no to that. Mm-hmm. Like California's already doing it. I'm sure there's other states. I know California. I do think there should be a, they're kids. They know, like, it's business decisions. They're having to make business decisions now. If I'm a, if I am in Knoxville business and I offer you an NIL deal as a high schooler, there is a unspoken just agreement there. If I sign you to a 1 year deal, which I don't think if it's a senior in high school, you should be allowed to sign them to a 4 year deal, yeah. Or you should have to honor that 4 year deal no matter where they go to school. Mm-hmm. But if I sign you to a 1 year deal, everyone that is involved should know that I'm a Tennessee fan. When you come into my bar or you come into my business, I've got jerseys hanging up everywhere. I've got, you know, radio shows coming. You know that if you go to Alabama or if you go to USC, this NIL deal is done. And that, I mean, that's business.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't get how Nick Saban can sit there at SEC Media Days and brag about
he's a scumbag.
Bryce Young's deal, and then get mad that
he didn't know
other teams are doing.
Hey, give him a break. He didn't know recruits were going to see that. He had no idea. He didn't know ESPN would run a 3-hour story on it.
It's like, come on, dude.
Show me. Go to Bryce Young's personal Twitter, Instagram. Show me where the seven figures are coming from.
Yeah, I mean, Jimbo Fisher was absolutely right when he said he's mad that he didn't get his way. It's absolutely right.
That's like, if he shouldn't have named names. He didn't name names. He named a name, and it was the team that finished above him.
Yeah.
He named a name.
Yeah.
He's a scumbag, dude. That's that simple. Nick Saban, verified scumbag. Verified little boy of the week. He gets it. And he just stole it from A&M, who had it for like 3 weeks running.
And he's the same jackass that was like, oh, players shouldn't be able to. He didn't want Brandon Kennedy to come to Tennessee because it was in conference. And then he went, when it benefited him, he was more than glad to take Henry Toto'o from us.
100%. It's not what's best for college football. It's what's best for Nick Saban to win college football.
Exactly.
That's all it is. And I think this
is the downfall.
Listen, dude, he's not scared. I'm not saying he hadn't cheated. Well, that's what doesn't make sense to me. He's been coaching. He won his first national championship in what, 2001, 2003, sometime in there? He has been dominating college football for 2 decades. And it's changed so much. Like, dude, you can adjust. Quit being a crybaby about it and just go win. Like, I think Nick Saban is coming back. I think he's a good football coach.
Yeah.
Just go win. Like, who cares?
You still get the top talent.
I know.
You still have a top five recruiting class. You still have the best a Heisman winning quarterback. Okay.
Right. It's
chill ridiculous. Out. Sorry that you got beat in recruiting. It's fine. It happens. You got beat this year in the national title by Stetson Bennett, which is a former walk on.
Wasn't Georgia fine. The number one class last year?
Yeah.
Dude, what are we doing? I know like Texas A&M isn't the premier SEC program, but since they've been in the SEC, people talked about how they had a leg up being in Texas and all this. Why are we shocked? And all the money they have, why are we shocked that they're number one? Why is Nick Saban shocked that they're number one?
Hey, guess what? They beat you last year.
Yeah, SMD.
So, I mean, yeah, like you can say, hey, they got a pretty hefty NIL deal. We also beat Alabama last year. Come to Texas A&M. That's a huge recruiting pitch.
Oh, yeah.
And if you didn't like it, don't lose.
And Jimbo's a national – I mean, say what you want about him as a coach and where he's at right now. He's a national championship winning coach too.
Yeah.
He's got a resume too. Like, that's the thing. I don't know. I think Nick Saban's okay with – I don't know. I don't know what it is, man. I think Nick Saban was okay with, like, losing to Kirby, because Kirby until this year couldn't get out of the Nick Saban protege. Like, Nick Saban was always attached to Kirby Smart and probably always will be. Jimbo only really gets it brought up when he played Alabama.
Yeah, it was only brought, like, it's brought up a lot more now because he's in the SEC.
Right. But even then, only when they play.
Yeah. But now.
now it's on. And, dude, I love they mentioned him.
Back.
Oh, phew, loved it. They mentioned him in the interview being a mentor, and he's like, no.
Yeah. He's like, Bobby Bowden was my mentor, not Nick Saban. I learned what not to do.
You're definitely cheating.
Yeah. He's like, I learned what not to do. I'm like,
What did Spurrier say about that? Free Shoes University? Shut up. I love it, dude. I mean, we all
were thinking what Nick Saban was thinking, but it's also like what Jimbo said. He's like, we're not, you know, throwing darts at a glass house.
Right.
Throwing darts with a glass house.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too, is like for a college coach to say that publicly, when you've been around college football for 4 decades, you're 85 years old. You should have been retired 20 years ago.
Right.
You know how much cheating goes on. You've been involved in cheating. Why are we even acting like it's a big deal? What are we doing?
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Yeah. I love it. It's hilarious to me. Let's talk some commits real quick. Then we're going to get out of here. We're about to throw first pitch in Starkville. Real quick. We going Luke Lipsius, mom? Too old? Two-run home run? Seth Stevenson on base?
Started off? Oh, I think Seth Stevenson hits one up the middle for a single. That's how we get things going. After that, sure. Yeah.
All right, Oppo again?
Yeah, I'll go taco, baby. Let's silence that crowd real quick.
Oh, dude, they'll be grilling. They don't care. They're there to have a good time.
Yeah. So Tennessee did get a commit in basketball this week. Toby Awaka. He's a I think he's rated like a 3-star or will be a 3-star. Not really rated on a bunch of sites yet, but 6'8", 240 pounds from Bronx, New York. He was an AAU teammate with current Vol, Zakai Ziegler, so they're aware of each other. And, hey, we're landing a big man. That's what we've asked for a while now, and we finally land one. Won't help us this year, but we'll be in that class for next year.
Yeah, and, I mean, I've heard the term – I haven't really watched much film on him or anything. I've heard the term underrated. I don't know if that's just because he's a 3-star. So it's
– I think he's very similar to Zakai Ziegler, kind of late –
right.
Blooming in his recruitment.
Which is interesting coming from Brooklyn. It's just interesting. But yeah, it's I mean, like you said, it's a big man. I'm excited. I think there's still a lot of work to do, and you thankfully have the transfer portal this year and next year. But I'm still banking on our boys coming back. So
yeah.
For this year.
Yeah. Pumped up. You could get another recruit in this class. DJ Jefferson will make his announcement tomorrow. A 4-star small forward, and we'll see who he picks. Tennessee was in his top three with Washington State and somebody else.
We also heard Tennessee football could get some good news this weekend.
We did.
So I'm not going to – just eyeball emoji, all right? Just eyeball emoji. I'm not going to mention it because I don't like being wrong. Not that I don't trust my guy, but we're just going to wait and see. Could be tonight. Could he be waiting on some fireworks in Starkville first? Sorry, Stark Vegas?
almost gave it away.
I mean, people have got to know who we're talking about, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I was a little shocked it was going to come in this early.
I'm pretty sure he's a baseball fan.
Tony Vitello called him and was like, listen, first bomb's for you.
Yo, you commit, we'll let you throw the first pitch.
I wonder what the rules are that. How come we haven't got a Nico first pitch? Is that against the rules? Don't they put the Jumbotron on him and stuff? I mean, come on. What's the big deal? Hand him a baseball.
Yeah. He's just a streaker on the field that we didn't act on, right?
Don't give ball fans any ideas. Golly. Oh, that would be I'm shocked Tennessee hadn't had as many. With how many – I think that shows you how much Tennessee fans love football. There's not a lot of Tennessee fans that are willing to get kicked out of the game for streaking. Because you go home. You don't get to even – it's not like you sit under the stadium and get to – actually, I think if they told me that you just had to sit in the paddy wagon for the rest of the game, I think I'd be willing to do it. You'd hear. You know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Whatever.
God, I can't wait to storm the field on
Do you have a stupidity besides Jimbo beef?
I don't.
That's been my big – I needed to look because
I was – all my attention was on that.
I know. So. I did find this picture. It's the you guys can't see it. It's Brad Calipari, the earned not given tattoo. I found that this week, and I love it so much. So, yeah, we'll go with that, even though it's, you know.
Yeah, not... I don't really have any other than that. That was a big one.
Yeah, that's hilarious to me. Yeah, it'll never not make me laugh. Ever.
I do have Spencer Dinwiddie This could be the most important, but I'm going to say it's in the stupidity because I don't know why this is in a contract. Has a dollar bonus in his contract if the Mavs win the title.
$1.
Well, they're not going to win the title, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Celtics?
But I'm like, where did that come into negotiations? Like,
that has to be a joke, right? Like, he's like, that'd be funny, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What's the salary? Maybe it wouldn't be that funny.
Probably, I'd say it's better than ours.
Fair point. Fair point. We're running out of time. I'm just going to mention the new NCAA rule real quick. We can talk about it more on Sunday. So NCAA is going to allow. I don't know. Is it because of COVID? Like, did they address that? It's because of transfers and COVID, or did they just not even say why? They're just going to do it because it's the next 2 years.
I didn't really read it other than like what they were like.
Okay.
Kind of announced it as.
And it might turn in maybe past the next 2 years. It may be kind of more of an experimental thing. But the next 2 years, they're going to allow, I guess it's unlimited signings in your class, but you still have the 85 scholarship limit. So let's say you lose 25. You can add up to however, you know, whatever it. So you'd only be allowed, if you had 25 scholarships available, then you can only sign 25 guys. But it's whatever's available you can sign and bring in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's big because, you know, Tennessee could have used that, you know, when they mm-hmm. lost all those people. After a coach leaves, a whole staff leaves,
right.
You get kind of picked apart by the portal. I think this is supposed to kind of help that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more – it's not going to be as many – I don't think you'll see as many freshman signings. It's going to be a lot more portal signings.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, freshmen, like, there's only so many freshmen. And teams in the SEC, it may help smaller leagues. Teams in the SEC aren't just going to take a guy because they have a spot.
Yeah.
So
I think most of them will try to get to 25 and then, like, they don't have to save a spot for a portal guy.
Right.
You know, they can go and hammer the portal if they want to also.
Yeah, for sure. So I think it just helps Tennessee, other SEC teams in the portal. I mean, I'm sure Nick Saban will have something to complain about, but I think it's good for everybody.
Yep. Let's get to baseball.
Baseball guys, we're going to send you guys to Starkville from here. I wish I knew their announcer's name. We're sending it to you.
John Wilkerson.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. All right, John, we're sending it to you from Landon's house.
Yeah.
Appreciate you guys listening. We'll be back Sunday. We'll get into some more Jimbo beef. We'll talk more NCAA rules and changes there. We might be talking about another change too. 11.7 may be going away. Hate it for the podcast. It's a great name, but.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Tennessee.
Yeah. Hopefully you get a sweep. We're bringing the boat in, and we out.